be standing this morning, please, for the reading of the Word of God.
Amen.
Nothing like the Word of God.
Amen.
Brother Steve talked this morning out of Psalm 119 concerning the Word of God. And there's nothing like that book.
Amen.
Been a lot of books written, but there's never been a book written like this book.
Amen.
Thank God we've got a book of God. Amen.
Amen.
And the Holy Bible.
Amen.
The Holy Bible. The book. It is the book.
Amen.
The book of books. Been a lot of books written, but none like this book.
Amen.
And Jesus done a whole lot of things in his lifetime. The Bible said if you write everything in a book that he done in his life, world couldn't contain all the books.
Right.
And how true that is. I'm talking about the book of books.
Amen.
Thank God he's given us a revelation of himself.
Amen.
Of us and our sin, our eternal estate.
Amen.
Where men will spend eternity. There ain't but two places.
Amen.
Pardon the English, but that's good preaching anyhow. There ain't but two places.
Amen.
Men will either go to heaven or they'll go to hell. One of the two. And I know where I'm going, I don't know about you. But I know who I'm living for. I don't know about you, but I know who I'm going to live for. And by the good help and the grace of God. I'm going to ask you to turn your Bibles this morning to the book of Psalms 107. Psalms 107. And we'll read a few verses here out of this particular psalm. Read down through verse number 8, and then we'll bring the thought that the Lord has laid on my heart for the morning hour. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. And then the psalmist said, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. I think we all we that are redeemed could say without a doubt, God is good, and his mercy endureth forever. Whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy, sin, death, hell, and the world. And we've been delivered from those. And gathered them out of the lands from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses, and led them forth by the right way, that they might go to the city of habitation. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. You see how that verse number 8 ends? I believe that's an exclamation mark. In other words, there's an emphasis on what is being said there. It's not just a statement with a period behind it. And it's certainly not a question mark, but it is an emphatic, dogmatic statement that men ought to praise the Lord for his goodness to them. Let's bow and pray. Our Heavenly Father, I'm so thankful this morning for the Word of God. Thank you, Lord, for the Sunday school message this morning about your book, how wonderful it is. Thank you, Lord, that it's a living book today. It's alive. It's able to quicken sinners, and it's able to bless the saints. It's able to direct us in the right way that we ought to take. It's able to help us to live right, and live clean, live holy. Help us to avoid sin, avoid the pitfalls of the devil. I pray this morning now, Lord, that you'd anoint with the power of the Spirit of God. And grant us, Lord, the liberty that's needed this morning. I pray that you'd set us in that wide place, that large room that the psalmist talks about. And help us this morning, Lord, to preach with great unction and power. And great grace and great glory. May we today, Lord, magnify you and your work upon the cross, the life that you gave for us, that we as sinners might be saved and know you in the free pardon of sin. I pray that you'd bless every heart, save sinners to the glory of God. And help Brother Hall now this morning, help our church Will you not revive us again, Lord? How we need revival in our church today. I pray you'd start that fire burning in my heart and revive me again, Lord, that I might rejoice in you. And we'll thank you, Lord, and praise you for doing it. For we ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen and amen. Thank you. And you may be seated. I want to take our thought this morning out of verse number 6, if I may, where the Bible said, "Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses." And I want to take that verse and really three more verses in this passage, in this psalm, just like it. It says the same words four different times. And I want to preach for a little while on this thought, it's crying time again. When it is crying time again. Four times in this particular psalm, the Bible said, "Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble." And without fail, every time that God's people cried out to him, the Bible said that he delivered them, that he brought them out of all their distresses and all their troubles. And really, the psalm is a repetitive psalm. It repeats itself. And shows various aspects of the life of a sinner. And how the Lord works in that sinner's life to bring him to himself that he might be saved. I heard Dr. Harold Seitler say on a tape just not long ago that unless God brings a sinner to himself, that sinner will never be saved. I want to say that to you this morning on the authority of the Word of God. That is an absolute fact. No man has ever come to God out of by his own power and by his own desires. Unless the Spirit of God quickens a man and works in that man's life to bring him to the Lord, he'll never come there. You know why? He is depraved in his nature and there is enmity between him and God. And in his own heart and his own desire, you can mark this down. He loves sin more than he loves the Savior. And he will not come to the Lord until God gets a hold of that man and brings him to himself. Now I'll tell you the way to God. And by the way, we could apply this even to the people of God. There's no problem with applying this to the people of God in their troubles in this life. And every time that they were in trouble and realized they were there, the Bible said, then they cried unto the Lord, and he delivered them out of all their troubles. Now, I want to tell you, you'll never be delivered from your troubles until you get to then. Four times over, it was then they cried unto the Lord, and he delivered them out of all their troubles. Now, I want to say on the authority of the Word of God, friend, that most people, whether they're lost and going to hell or whether they're a child of God and in some kind of trouble, they will never come to God until they come to the end of their rope. Isn't that an odd thing? I'll tell you, that is a real odd thing, that men will absolutely have to come to the end of themselves and come to the end of their hope in themselves and realize their only hope is in God before they will ever call upon him. It was then that they cried unto the Lord. Then they cried unto the Lord. Four times over in this chapter. Then they cried unto the Lord. And he delivered them. And may I say that four times over in this chapter, that the psalmist also makes that statement in verse number 8. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Boy, I'll tell you, these young people stood up here this morning and sang like they love the Lord. And we sat on pews like we've never met him. They sang about the Christ of Calvary, and we sat like we've never been to the old rugged cross. They sing about revival, and we sit like we don't want revival or don't understand what revival is all about. Oh, the that men would praise the Lord for His goodness, for His wonderful works amongst the children of men. I'll tell you, I've never gotten over the day and don't want to get over the day that God brought me out of sin. Saved my soul from hell and saved my life from destruction. I was going to hell, but God divinely intervened. Oh, for the goodness of God. He didn't have to do that. He could have let me go on in my way and go to hell. He didn't have to do that for you. He could have let you go on in your sin, loving your sin and watch you wind up in hell. But God came to where you were, my friend, in a divine intervention in your life and brought you out of your sin. And I'm going to tell you, it didn't stop there. His wonderful works, that's only the beginning of it. Salvation, being saved, being born again is just getting in the small way of salvation. It's like a funnel, buddy. You get in on the little end of it. And it can do nothing but get bigger the longer you serve Him. Amen. That's right. And He's got a big funnel. Amen. I've learned that I don't know a whole lot about Him. But I've got a book that tells me everything that I need to know about Him. When I see something good, I've marked her down, friend. I am going to praise Him for His goodness to me. That's right. We can sit, bless God, and that's right. I said it like a knot on a log. If you don't like it, friend, you can lump it. We'll sit like a knot on a log, like a wooden end in. Amen. When God's been so good to us. Got some word yesterday. I ain't going to tell you what it was, but got some word yesterday. Made me want to run my head through the wall. Amen. God's good, son. God's good to His people. I'll tell you, we ought to praise Him for that. Hallelujah. I'm surprised. I'm shocked at my own son over there. After 10 years, God gave him a baby and he ain't took a lap over it yet. Amen.
Amen.
I want to ask you something this morning. And we just going to take her whatever we need. I want to ask you something this morning. Are you sick and tired of the mess that we're living in?
Amen.
Are you sick and tired of the dead, dry life that we're living and the dead, dry services we're having? Are you sick and tired of the devil having his way and the imps of hell having their way in our life and in our church? Are you fed up with that then? I tell you, it's crying time again. The Bible said, when they cried unto Him, God delivered them. Amen. When they cried. When they cried unto Him. Doesn't say when they whimpered. Doesn't say when they whined. Oh, no. When they cried, then they cried. When they were brought to a particular place in their life, then they cried. And they got entangled and entwined and with a mess in their life and had no way out. When their life was tied in many knots and they were unable to untie those knots, it was then that they cried unto the Lord. How many of you mamas have tied those little youngin' shoes in knots? And it started coming loose and they come and said, Mommy or Daddy or Grandpa, tie my shoe for me. And it had so many knots in it you couldn't get all the knots out of it. I'm going to tell you, that's the way our life gets sometimes. We get going down the wrong way and find ourselves in the wrong place and we're tied with knots in our life. Now I'll tell you and find no way out, but if we will cry unto the Lord, hallelujah to God. Oh, He'll not only bring us out, but He'll put the praise and the joy back in our heart one more time. Serving God. Oh, what a God. Amen. Then. And you know, and I find at the Ever four different places here. I find where they were at when they cried unto the Lord. That's a marvelous thing. The very verse, I mean, we see them crying in verse 6, 13, in verse number 19, and again in verse 28. And without fail, in every preceding verse, we find why, where they were when they cried unto the Lord. We find out what kind of a mess that they were in when they cried unto the Lord. And when they got in that mess, and I'm telling you, make no mistakes, it's there in broad daylight for you and I to see where they were. They cried unto the Lord. Look for just a minute, if you will, in verse 4. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. To me, like they were in a bad shape. Hungry and thirsty. Get this now, and I've got a perfect outline through here. Their soul fainted in them. Then they cried. When, Brother Hall? When their soul had fainted in them. When they found themselves weak and frail and could not go any further. Oh yes, when their soul fainted in them, it was then that they cried unto the Lord. Kind of like Samson when he fought that battle and was weak and weary and thirsty. Cried unto the Lord, and the Lord clave a hollow place in the jawbone of that ass. And the Bible said water came out of that hollow place. Now I'm going to tell you, you got a drink, and friend, we need a good drink this morning. Hallelujah to God. I'm not talking about drinking from the hog trough either, friend. I'm talking about getting a drink from that fountain of living water this morning. That spring, it's spring. Oh, yeah. That spring of living water. Oh, spring up, oh, well, that deep well of water, of sweet waters of salvation this morning. Get a drink from it. I'm going to ask something, man. Nobody in here feels a little faint, do you? About ready to faint? Your soul about ready. You know what it means to faint, don't you? Come on in the house. You ever been around anybody and said, well, so-and-so passed out. They fainted. I've been on the parade field in the military with boys in a 110-degree temperature standing at parade rest for about an hour and a half. I've seen them pass over, keel out. Buddy, I'm telling you, they lost all strength to stand and just fainted right there where they were standing. I'm afraid that's where we're living this morning. We have lost all strength to stand. And our soul has fainted within us. Oh, we still got body energy and strength to two legs to walk to the house of God. But that's all there is. There's no soul put into it when we get here. Why? Because our soul has fainted. It's passed out. It's laid down on the job. I'm going to tell you, now hear me well, when that soul faints and lays down on the job, you're left to do your work in the energy of the flesh. Everything that's done is in the flesh. It's the flesh that's getting the work. The soul, hey, you know what the problem is? That our soul and spirit ought to be in control of our body, and we've let our bodies and our flesh control the spiritual man. We need to go back to the gallows, son, and crucify Haman all over again this morning. God help us. I thought we were spiritual, and three people in the whole church knew who it was that wanted that mountain. God help us. God help us. I have preached on it right here, and you don't even know it. Lord help us. They fainted. Now, we didn't get out of here too early. I'm going to take my time. Are you listening? They fainted. Hey, look here. What made them faint? Look in verse number 4, if you would, please. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. That is, they fainted when they lost their way. They had no direction of life. They were just absolutely wandering in the wilderness. Do you understand what that word wander means? That word wander implies that there is no direct line of travel in their life. Now, I'm telling you that's exactly where we are. It's time that the men of this church found the will of God for your life and how God's leading you and where God's leading you and get in that will and follow God. Now, I won't say the first thing in God's will is for your hind end to be in the house of God, friend. Yay,
Amen. That's right. And the will of God is for you to be faithful in the services of this church.
Amen. You ain't going nowhere. You can't even make it to prayer meeting. You know why? Your soul has fainted. Some of you can't even say amen anymore. You know why? Your soul has fainted. Wondering. They lost their way. It implies they had given up hope because they had lost their way and realized and thought there was no way that they'd ever see daylight again in their life. You'd be surprised at the preachers that call me. Brother Hall, I've got problems in my life and I don't think I'll ever see daylight again. Are you listening to me? Don't believe I'll ever see daylight again. I just can't get out from under all my troubles. What they're saying is somewhere along the line, they lost their way. And they're wandering now. They're in the wilderness of wandering and they've lost their way. And the Bible says they fainted because of that. Their soul fainted because of that. When they saw no light from God. When they had no word from heaven. When there was no enlightenment, when there was no power and no presence of God, they just wandered alone, following the counsels of their own heart. And the Bible said they fainted, their soul fainted, and when it fainted, it was then. It was then. It was then that they cried. Oh, now I'm going to tell you, isn't God's mercy something wonderful? Even when we have forsaken God and wandered in the wilderness, if we'll cry to God, God will hear and will deliver us. Hallelujah to His name. Amen. I'm going to tell you, He might stop delivering if we don't follow the next verse and praise Him for His goodness. Fainted. They fainted.
Amen.
Amen. They fainted. Their soul fainted.
Amen.
It was then that they cried. Come on in the house, boys and girls. Why do men faint? Are you listening now? Might as well hang with me because we ain't going till I'm done. We're here till noon tomorrow. Get in on it and enjoy it. If you get in on it, we may not even come back tonight. But if you don't, we'll come back and I'll slay the roof tonight, boys. Amen. Look here, why do men faint? Hey, they lost their way. That's why they fainted. Number two, men faint from lack of prayer. The Bible said in the book of Luke, and I've read it so many times, and Luke verse number 18, and verse 1, and He spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Let me ask you something, sir. When was the last time you prayed? Oh, I'm going to tell you, their soul fainted because they were wandering, chased like a dog chasing his tail. And oh yes, and they got so concerned about that mess in their life that they forsook the altar of God and forsook their prayer life and forsook everything about God.
Amen.
Their soul fainted.
That's right.
How long has it been since you prayed, ma'am?
Preach on that.
How long has it been since you prayed, sir?
Amen.
I'm talking about really getting a hold of God.
Yes, sir.
Amen. I'd hate to be married to some of you men. You ain't prayed for your wife and family so long. Amen. That's right. You might as well say amen about it. That's right. You come to church and sit like a zombie. Then got the audacity to tell people ain't nothing wrong. Bless God, I was born, but it wasn't yesterday, sir. I come to town, but it wasn't on a load of pumpkins. Amen. That's right. Now, I'm just going to be honest with you. I've been pretty long-suffering. God is long-suffering, and He's much more long-suffering than I am. And mine's about to run out. Amen. Lack of prayer. Lord, teach us to pray, was the cry of the disciples. Lord said, when you pray, find a closet and shut the door. When you pray, don't be like the hypocrites that love to stand in the marketplace and find praise of men. He said they've got their reward. Get you in a closet and pray unto your God that heareth in secret, and the God that heareth in secret shall reward you openly.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Oh, there's manna in the prayer closet.
Amen.
There's strength in the prayer closet. There's power in the prayer closet. There's direction in the prayer closet. They were wandering in the wilderness and fainted in the wilderness, and it was then they cried unto the Lord. I'm going to tell you, there's direction in the prayer closet. There's decision making in the prayer closet. There's help in that prayer closet. Woo! Hallelujah to God. Then they cried, it's cry time again at Island Ford Baptist Church. It's time some of you got out of your pew this morning and got on the altar and cried to God and confessed to God, I'm lost in the wilderness. I'm wandering in the wilderness. Lord, my soul is faint within me. I guarantee He'll be faithful. Deliver you. Some of y'all was in the wilderness when you, well, all of you was, wandering without God. Remember when God found you? Remember when God found you? Huh? That night, Brother Ricky laid on the altar over there for about 45 minutes. Got up and jumped in the baptistry. God found him. I'd like to know what's wrong now. Amen. We used to shout, bless God, what's wrong now? I'm going to tell you what's wrong. Your faith, your soul is faith. I'm not saying that to chide you and to be angry or to show any sign of animosity to you, but I'm telling you, friend, all you got to do is cry. It's crying time again. And if you'll cry to God, God is faithful to hear you and deliver you. Amen. Hallelujah. Jerome run 111 laps in here one day, according to Brother Leroy. And all he took the other day was 16. They're leaving. Leroy said, Jerome, you run 16 laps a day. He said, I didn't run that many. He said, I count every one of them 16. Amen. That's a whole lot shy of 111. Amen. I wonder what's happened. Maybe in the wilderness a little bit, wandering. Got a little faint. Maybe the soul's a little faint. Maybe the soul's laying down. Maybe our soul, rather than controlling our mind and our heart, is sunk so low that the flesh is controlling it all, and we're no longer able, friend, to praise the Lord. Come on in the house, children. We ain't got done yet. Lack of prayer. Praise God. When are we going to learn to pray? When are we going to learn to pray, ladies and gentlemen? Hallelujah. Need my spectacles. I'm going to say the third reason. Third reason that men faint. Third reason, not only they lost their way and from lack of prayer. I'm going to tell you something else that'll cause you to lose you, for your soul to faint. It's laying in the field a little too much. Amen. Come on in the house. Now I'm talking about the world. Come on, hey, did you know you can get in the world sitting on the pew in the Baptist church? You can get wildly, son, hearing preaching three times a week. You can get wildly reading your Bible. You can get wildly coming to the house of God. Remember the story about old Esau? The Bible said in Genesis chapter number 25, verse 28, that Isaac loved Esau because he did eat of his venison. God help, I'm telling you, the more I learn about Isaac, the more I realize he was a very carnal child of God. In fact, he was so far from God that when the two twins were born, God didn't even tell him about them. He told his wife. That's a vast difference from Abraham and Sarah. When God went to Abraham in chapter 15 and sealed the covenant and then made him that promise in chapter 18. Hallelujah! But here he has to go to the woman. Got two nations is in your womb. That's right. Them boys grew. The Bible said, and Jacob sawed pottage, and Esau came from the field, and he was faint. Now I'm going to tell you right now, you lay around out in the world and enjoy a worldly atmosphere all the time, you're going to faint too. Yes, sir, you cannot walk in the Spirit of God and have the power of God on you if your mind is constantly out in the world and thinking on worldly things. Amen. You're going to have to meditate in that book and study that book. If I turn the air on too hot in here, I see some goatee heads. Amen to God. Amen. Came in from the field. Here's what he said. He said, give me some of that red pottage. Because he said, I'm faint. Now I'm going to tell you, Jacob wasn't a fool. He said, give me your birthright and a will. I'm going to tell you what, friend. The world can bring your soul down pretty low. Amen. You'd be, hey, that's right. You get to thinking on the world. That's what's wrong with this crowd that's out watching the passion play this morning and making that a substitute for the house of God. I hope some of them say, I've got to hear what I got to say about that mess. You hear me well? There ain't nobody. I want to repeat that for some of you carnal-minded Baptists. They ain't nobody ever been saved watching a Hollywood film. And a church that buy every seat in the building for a bunch of hellions to sit in there and watch Hollywood is wickeder than the hell. They're casting their pearl before swine and giving their money to Hollywood. I'm not giving Hollywood one stink a dime of my money. Movies. Hollywood movies substituting for preaching.
Right.
What the problem is, they're in the field, ladies and gentlemen. They're out in the world. Their souls fainted. And I'm going to tell them we ain't far behind them. If all you're going to do is come to church and sit there with your mug looking at the carpet, you might as well stay home. I said that.
Amen.
Well, maybe somebody come get right with God. Yeah, and maybe somebody will come and quench God. And maybe somebody will come and grieve God. And maybe somebody will come and grieve and quench God so much that souls die and go to hell. And the church rise up on the vine and they got an ounce of power in Adam no more. I said, well, preacher, if you pull that root up, you're going to destroy some of the plants around it. Sometimes that's the way it's got to be, friend. I didn't start pastoring yesterday. That's right. Now I'm telling you this morning, some of you in here is going to come and talk to me and tell me what your problem is, buddy. Our brother Hall is going to get in your face some Sunday and preach to you one-on-one. Mark her down, I said that. And I don't want to hear one beat from nobody about brother Hall's not a patient, loving, kind pastor. You're full of hell yourself, you think that. Amen! That's right, I've put up with a mess around here long enough. I've seen God grieve and quench long enough. And it's time you either got in or got out, buddy. Somebody's got a problem. If they're faint-hearted, they've got troubles in their life, and they're trying to scale those mountains of despair and get out of that mess, and they need a helping hand, mark her down. I'll be the first one there to reach my hand down into their mess and try to lift them out. But, buddy, when they lay on the bottom of the rock pile and tell me they enjoy laying down there, hey, there's nothing, not one thing I can do about it. Amen.
Amen.
That's right. I don't know about the rest of this mess, but I want God.
Amen.
Then they cried. When they realized their heart was fainted within them, their soul was faint, they cried. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Anybody listening now? Hope nobody didn't turn me off. You did? Maybe God's got to speak it and turn you back on.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
I want to say fourthly, that they fainted from battle fatigue. You know, in the story of David and Samuel, 1 Samuel chapter number 30, I believe it is, at maybe 29, it gives the story about Samuel going after those that raided the camp of raided the city of Ziklag, burned it with fire.
Amen.
They said they got down to the brook and a couple hundred of his men was faint and couldn't cross over the brook. Now here's the kind of faint-hearted people God will help, and here's the kind of faint-hearted people that the brother Hall will help. when David went after that crowd and got all back, everything back that he lost, and came back to where they were.
Amen.
David said, these men's going to share in the spoil just like us. That bunch of sons of Belial said, no, we ain't giving them nothing. Yeah, David said, I'm telling you this, we are giving them something.
Right.
They were faint and couldn't go to the battle. I'm here to tell you that's exactly what I was saying a little earlier. If you're faint and cannot go to the battle, if you cannot fight any longer, are you listening to me this morning? If you cannot fight the devil or your problem any longer, I guarantee you, if you'll tell Brother Hall, I'll be the first to be like Abishai. When David needed succor, and I'll pick up the sword and succor you and do my best to slay the giant. And if he kills you, he'll kill us both to do it.
Amen.
But I'm telling you, I can't help you if you just sat down by the way and refuse a helping hand. If you try to bite the hand that feeds you, I cannot help you. And neither can God. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. I've got a little battle weary.
Amen.
I've heard some encouraging words from some of you.
Amen.
But not many.
Right.
I was going several years ago, somebody set a little sign on my desk in there. Little poem said, don't quit.
Amen.
I feel God sitting in there.
Amen.
I think maybe I'll take that poem and set it on some of you all's desk.
Amen.
Dare you not to quit.
Amen.
Come on now, then they cried, it's crying time again.
Yes.
Then, it was then when they got so low they couldn't go, Lord. Then they cried, then they cried.
Yes.
The Lord heard them. Brought them out of their distresses. Look here, I want to show you something more this morning. I don't know what all we're going to do this morning, but I want to show you something. I want you to pray for Brother Hall. Buddy, I've been trying to get a hold of God the best I can this week and find what I needed for my heart. And look here, I've been trying to get my own heart right. Best I can try to get right. I was sitting up there reading the other morning. I believe it might have been Wednesday morning. I believe it was Thursday morning. And boy, I come to Psalm 110 and verse number 3. If you want to flip there real quick, I want you to read it with me. I want you to read it with me. The Bible said, thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. Well, I know that. Hey, he ain't talking about me there, but he was talking to me there.
Amen.
Can you get that? Hey, are you listening to me? There's where I cried. Lord, Brother Hall is faint. I admit it. I fought the battle. I've been going up against the giants. I fought as long as I can fight. I've got to have help. And God said, when thy people, they will follow your power.
Amen.
Oh, God. I said, give me that power one more time.
Amen.
Give me that power one more time.
Amen.
I thought how true God can be. Hey, if I ain't got it up here, I can't expect you to have it out there.
Amen.
But I'll tell you another thing. When God gives it to me up here, hallelujah to God, I'll expect you to have it out there. Said, when they see your power, Hall, when they see the preacher's power, when they see the power of God resting on the man of God, they'll follow you again.
Yes.
I was praying for that power. Hallelujah. Amen. And look here. That ain't all of it. In the beauties of holiness, from the womb of the morning, can you get a hold of that? The womb of the morning is in reference to their generation, regeneration power. Their deliverance, their time they were saved. Thy people shall be willing to follow thy power. When, Brother Hall? In the beauties of holiness, from the time they were saved. From the womb. From the time of deliverance, we might say. From the time of deliverance in the morning. And boy, I'll tell you, that last phrase is what just about got me to run my head through the wall. Thou hast the dew of thy youth. Boy, I said, Lord, I'm 57 years old. Lord, I've got a diseased body. Lord, I'm an old, sick, and aged man, and my mind is about half senile half the time. I'm kind of like Harold Burns. I'm getting awful slow. I've always been that way, but God help, things are getting worse.
But God said, I'm going to give you the dew of thy youth, buddy. I'm going to give you the power you had in your younger days. I'm going to restore that power like you had when you was a young man. I said, God, have mercy. Maybe if I can get in there, if I can get in there and do a little holy dance, maybe Brother Jerome will go from 16 back to 111. I go to a holy dash, maybe Sis get her arm up in the air again.
Amen.
Maybe Lisa get another smile on her face again.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, amen. Maybe some of the rest of you that ain't shouting a long time, you'll shout again.
Right.
Maybe those of you that are faint for some reason or another, a God will energize your soul if you see the man of God walking in power and living in power. Living in the dew of his youth.
Yes.
I said, Lord, praise God. Abraham and Sarah, maybe, coming to town.
Man.
Glory to God.
Hey,
I'll tell what God's going to do.
Yeah.
Woo! I get to do my youth. I'll strut my stuff, Jonah.
Yeah.
You get a hold of that?
Yes.
Praise God.
Yes.
Amen. That's right. There might be a little Uncle Moses running around in here.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes,
didn't you see Elizabeth saying Uncle Moses? How you doing, Uncle Moses?
I'm all right, Teddy. How are you?
Amen.
Some of y'all might not want me to do my youth. This is only point one. I got five. I told you we're going to preach today and stay here till we're done.
Amen.
Amen.
Anybody in here faint?
Free.
How many times have I preached and said, if Brother Hall is into it, it's all right for you?
Amen.
Somebody said, oh, I don't really feel like it. You don't have to feel like it. You're saved.
Amen.
In fact, according to, boy, John. What a thought, Sister Hall, that God just run across my mind. In fact, you don't even have to feel good to call to God and cry to God and have a time in God. In fact, it's on the other end of the totem pole. That's when you're faint. That's when you qualify for it. Not when you're high flying, but when you're faint hearted. That's when you qualify for it, friend. How many of y'all in here this morning want me to just come around and ask you when you're going to shout again?
Amen.
Or at least when you're going to come in and try to worship God.
Amen.
Or at least when you come in and quit grieving other people.
Amen.
Letting other people watch you and wonder and worry about what's going on.
Amen.
I think our worries has brought us down. I think our own spiritual concern for others may have brought us down.
Yeah.
On the house, children.
Preach,
preaching time.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
Look here. Point number two. When they fainted, then they cried unto the Lord. It's crying time. Look at verse number 13, then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble. He saved them out of their distresses. But why are they crying this time? Up here the first time, they're faint. Or else they fainted. But I'm telling you, things don't appear to be getting any better. Look at where they're at now. The Bible said in verse number 12, therefore he brought down their heart with labor. They fell down and there was none to help. Up there, they're only fainted. But here they fell! Come on now, don't give up, don't quit, don't die, we ain't done yet. They're no longer fainted. The next step to fainting is they fell. They got completely down. Somebody said, I'm down. What did I preach on the other night? You want up? When they fell, then they cried unto the Lord. It's crying time again, boys. This time some of y'all got your heart broken. Your heart may be bitter. And I'll tell you, a root of bitterness will spring up and defile many.
Amen.
Your heart may be battered. I'm going to tell you what we all need is our heart broken.
Amen.
Hallelujah to God.
Right.
They fell. But look here what they fell from, and I'm not going to tarry too long on this thought. Some of you pass out towards the world. Look why they fell. If you would please look in verse number 11, because they rebelled against the words of God and contemned the counsel of the Most High. That is because of their hardness. Well, they just rebelled on the word of God. Now look here. They've been faint, and God delivered them. And immediately after deliverance, they went right back to where they were. And the next step is that they fell. And they fell because of the hardness of their heart. The Bible said they rebelled against the Word of God. And they contemned all God's counsel. That is, are you listening to me? They hated the counsel God gave them. You know why some of y'all's in the mess you've been? Some of y'all's in the mess you're in today because you have come to Brother Hall or Sister Hall for some counsel. And we've told you what you needed to do. And you went out and followed your own counsel instead of the counsel God gave you. And you're where you're at because of it.
Amen.
That's right. Got your hall in a mess. You think it's good, but it's a mess. You got fainted. You fell, and you have because you hardened your heart. But against light that God gives, friend, you're going to wind up in a bad way.
Amen. Amen.
If you walk in the light as He is in the light, you have fellowship one with another, and the blood of His Son, Jesus Christ, cleanses you from all unrighteousness. But I'm going to tell you, harden your heart, stiffen your neck to what God's saying to you. You'll find yourself in a real problem. Anybody here feel like they've fallen? Oh, my Bible said, though a good man fall 7 times, the Lord will lift him up. You know when God will lift a good man up from his fall? When he cries, it's crying time. Hard-hearted man, hard-hearted woman. Sing that old rock and roll song, hard-headed woman, got a head like a rock. Yeah, y'all remember. You ain't that spiritual. But I'm going to tell you what it ought to be is a hard-hearted Christian.
Amen.
And a heart rock like a rock.
Amen.
I want to ask something. Does it not disturb you that we can come to church and we're fainted? And some are fainted and some are fallen. And there's no God to deliver us. Then they cried. Then they cried. But I'm going to tell you something. Look here. This is the saddest part of it all. God, it's sad. It is sad. Look at the very next verse, verse number 12. Therefore he brought their heart down with labor. They fell down and there was none to help. Hey, they rebelled and hardened their heart, and God brought them down. God brought their heart down with labor. That is, God laid a heavy load on them that they couldn't get out of. Anybody in here this morning feel like God has laid a load on you that you can't get out of? I see y'all looking. Do you not believe it's there? And look here, I'm going to tell you how God brought their heart down with labor. God brought their heart down with labor. They fell down and there was none to help. That entire verse there implies that God brought them down by humiliation. God had to humiliate them. Oh, somebody said, Brother Hall, how's God do that? Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. What? Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. He'll exalt you in due time. And I'm going to tell you what, friend. God knows how to humble people. And He brought their heart down. Because of their hardness and because of their rebellion. Turn them fans on back there, one of you boys. I don't like them on, but we got to have something. We ain't done yet, and it's already 1 o'clock. We might see who's got God on them this morning. We might just preach long enough to see who loves God and who don't. Does God see if God means more to you than your pot roast? Brother Hall, mine will burn. Let her scorch, buddy. I like burnt meat anyway. Ask my wife. I'll tell her just burn it. I don't eat blood, nothing strangled. Amen. Burn her up. I'm going to tell you, I like her scorched and burnt up.
Come on,
yes,
glory.
Anybody in here this morning feel like God brought your heart down with labor? Look here, you worked and labored and labored and labored, and your heart just couldn't seem to get nowhere. And I'm going to tell you the reasons you can't. Got holes in your pockets. Your money don't go nowhere. Put your money in your pocket and it's gone. You can't pay your bills. You can't get by. You can't. Hey, maybe it's because God laid a heavy burden on your heart.
Amen.
Then they cried when they fell.
Amen.
They cried. Not before, friend.
Right.
You think that we're not hard-hearted people?
Amen.
That entire chapter tells me that God went to great lengths to deliver us.
Right. Amen.
And in neglect of what God's goodness to us, we still went away from God.
Amen.
That's right.
And even when we fainted and fell, His mercy endureth forever.
Yeah.
And let the redeemed of the Lord say so.
Yeah.
Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness. And let the redeemed of the Lord say so. You ever been there? You ever been there when it seemed like you was down in a horrible pit, and the pit was getting a little smaller at the top all the time, and the sunlight you was enjoying got less and less all the time, and it seemed like there's no way out, and that pit began to close in on you? I'm going to tell you, if you've ever been in that place and cried to God and watched that, hey! Sam Allen say, hey! Watch that omnipotent hand of God. Come down when there was only room for an arm in the top of the hole. That unseen, omnipotent hand of God come out of nowhere. When you cried, right, man? Lifted you up. I'm going to tell you what you'll do. You'll praise Him for that. When He opens up your eyes and brings you out of darkness into light. Now, from the power of Satan unto God. That verse literally means from the power of Satan to the power of God. Woo! I'm going to be sitting by the island again. Hey, man! You ever been there? You ever fail? I'm going to be honest with you. Somebody, you know what? We don't want to admit it. I'm not fainted. You lying devil. Well, I've never fallen. You lied, get you, don't you, and your mammy don't want you.
Amen.
I tell you, I want to confess, God, I have fainted and fallen. More times than once.
Amen.
And ain't a bit ashamed of it.
Amen.
I'm going to take a lap. I'm going to tell you why. I ain't a bit ashamed of it. I'm going to tell you why. Every time I faint, every time I fall, Brother Andy, God magnifies His grace. God magnifies His love. God magnifies His goodness and brings me out.
When
I realize how weak and faint and feeble I am, He brings me out. Makes me want to praise the Lord. Woo! Makes me want to praise the Lord. Brother Jerome, I said it makes me want to praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
That He'd be mindful of a worm like me. That just went away from God, left God, deserted God, and yet His thoughts are still upon me. And He loves a worm like me. Woo! Enough when I faint and enough when I fall. He loves a worm like me. He likes to get them little old wriggling worms out of fire. Woo! Hallelujah to God. He can reach His hand down in that fire, buddy, where that little worm's a wriggling, and lift it out and never be scorched. Woo! Amen, Brother Joe. What a God. Hallelujah. Old folks out in the radio world, listen, ladies and gentlemen out in the radio land, we are preaching the marathon today. That's point two of point five. It ain't but 1 o'clock. Praise God. It ain't even late in the day. Besides that, this is the Lord's day. We'll rejoice and be glad in it. It's marvelous in our eyes, but it's the Lord's doing, brethren. It's the
Lord's doing. Hallelujah to God. If you blame anybody, blame the Lord. He's the one that gave me the verses.
He's the one that gave me that chapter the other morning. If you don't blame anybody, blame God, not me. I'm just minding the Lord. Hallelujah. Look here. Boy, I like, and we ain't done now, I'm just telling you. Crying time again when you faint. Crying time again when you fall. Look here at verse number 18. Look at verse 19 first. Then they cried unto the Lord. There it is. In their trouble, and He saveth them out of all, out of their distress. Wonder what the problem was this time. Look at verse number 18. Their soul abhorreth all manner of meat. And they draw near unto the gates of death. They abhorreth all manner of meat. Look here. What happens to us if we don't eat? Kind of hungry, don't we? That tells me there was a famine. Look at, not, hey, come on now. Not a famine of the Word of God, but a famine of hearing it. I'm going to tell you why. There was plenty of meat. They didn't want it. They didn't want to eat. I've seen Angie try to feed that little old baby over there, Kayla. And that, she'll just turn her head and I'll say, let that baby alone. She'll eat when she's hungry. Come out and say, look, she's got food all over her face. Well, no wonder the way they feed her. Why wouldn't you have food all over her face? She don't want it. You know why? She's tired of slimy, mashed up beans. And that bunch of old green peas and asparagus and stuff. Don't want it. Sometimes as a child of God, we get that way. Lord, I don't want the meat. Lord, I don't want anything strong from the Word of God. I don't want anything meaty from the Word of God. And even, I'm going to be honest with you, Lord, even this manna, this white bread, I'm tired of it. That's what they're saying. Now, can you get a hold of that? Can you get a hold of a really generated, born-again child of God saying, Lord, I'm sick of hearing the Word of God.
Amen.
There was a famine.
Amen.
A famine of hearing the Word of God.
Amen.
Son, I've got a letter I wish everybody in here would read. A Democrat. A Democrat United States Senator. I'd vote for him if I lived in Georgia. He made a speech on the floor of the Senate. And he started that speech out. He said, men and ladies and gentlemen of the Senate, said we always come together and discuss a deficit in the budget, but today I want to discuss a deficit in decency.
Amen. Amen.
Miss Patty, the first verse of Scripture he quoted was from James 8:11. He said, the problem in America today, there in Amos, there is a famine of the hearing of the Word of God. I've got to read these verses. Now, don't nobody leave me. I've got to read these verses to you. The Bible said in Amos chapter number 11, listen carefully, 8 and verse 11. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst of water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. Now, notice this. I want you to get a hold of this. I want you to get a hold of this. A famine of the hearing of the words of God. And look what men will do. And they shall wander from sea to sea and from north even to the east. They shall run to and fro and seek the word of the Lord and shall not find it. Come on in the house. I stood right behind this pulpit a few years ago. I said one of the problems in our land are men from the pulpit are running to every camp meeting in the country trying to find something from God. And you ain't going to find it. The reason you ain't, there's a famine, friend, of hearing the Word of God.
Yeah. Amen. Yes, sir.
Amen.
You can run wherever you want to run. You can run to other camp meetings, other revival meetings, run wherever you want to. But if you can't find the Word of God where God has put you, you're going to run in vain. You ain't going to find it there. Come on in the house now. Listen, listen carefully. I'll run through this with you and I'll try to hurry on. I see some of you getting a little antsy. Got any ants crawling around your britches? Brother Hall, I want to get out of here. You've kept us long enough. My hind end sore. Stand up. It bothers me if you don't stand up like I lean up against the wall. Amen. Listen to this scripture in Isaiah. Isaiah chapter number 29. Look at verse number 9. The Bible said, stay yourselves and wonder. Uh-oh, cry ye out. Oh, crying time. And cry ye out and cry. They are drunken, but not with wine. They stagger, but not with strong drink. For the Lord hath poured upon you the spirit of deep sleep and hath closed your eyes. The prophets and your rulers, the seers, hath He covered. Do I know anything at all about that, what He said? He's saying that without the Word of God, we're like a drunken man and there's not going to be any Word of God because I've dried up even the seers and the prophets from the land from preaching anything to this crowd. Now, I'm going to tell you, when God takes the preacher away from the man of God, ladies and gentlemen, the church is in trouble. And when you no longer want the preaching of the Word of God, you're in bigger trouble. Now, I'm trying to hurry, and I've got to. I know it's past time. But we're not going till I'm done. And if you fire me in the morning, just pass the hat and put in the thing fired, and I'll understand. But look here. I think the verse that really got me on this is found in the book of Micah. And chapter number 3. Oh my. And verse number 7. Then shall the seers be ashamed, and the diviners confounded. Yea, they shall all cover their lips, for there, get this now, there is no answer from God. Now I'm going to tell you. The reason there's no answer from God is because we've closed our ears to the truth, ladies and gentlemen. God wants us to hear. Faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Why aren't we marching on today? I tell you, it's because, ladies and gentlemen, there's a famine of hearing the Word of God. Boy, God showed me mercy when He showed me that verse in the book of Psalms about that dew of my youth. Oh, hallelujah to God and that power of God on me. Let's see. I'm telling you, I like to go beside myself, run my head through a wall 15 times. How marvelous it is. Can you get a hold of that, that the God of heaven wants to talk to you? God wants to set you down and have a conversation with you. He wants to iron out your problems. He wants to fellowship. He wants to slip His arms around you and tell you how much He loves you. He won't even trade you off for a shotgun.
Amen. 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 Good glory. Good now.
God wants you to hear.
Amen.
Not that we can't, folks. See, we've gotten so far down into famine, and we've fallen. And we're faint. But oh, it was then they cried. I wonder why they cried when they couldn't even hear it. Can you? They couldn't hear the Word of God, but that's talking about the seers preaching to them. God, Brother Andy, what God? When you get so far down, you can't get a hold of nothing the man of God has got to say. God can still slip up beside you and say, hey, you can still hear me, son.
Amen.
Can you get a hold of that this morning? God can still slip up to you. And you can't hear my preaching.
Right.
Holy Ghost can slip up beside you.
Amen.
And speak to your heart. You ever consider what a blessing it is for the God of heaven to take time out of His day to talk to us? There's a famine of hearing the Word of God.
Amen.
And I don't have time to go there. I'm going to try to go ahead and get done. There's not only a famine of hearing the Word of God, there's a famine of hope. You in here have lost your hope. Amen. Listen very carefully. I don't have time to turn there, but Ruth chapter 1 and verse 1. You ever read that little verse? There was a famine in the land.
Right.
And what did old Abimelech do? Somebody tell me. He left the land of Bethlehem, Judah, and went to sojourn down in Moab. You know why? There's no bread in the land, and he lost hope that there'd ever be any bread in that land. And he went down and started living down in Moab, God's washpot. Oh, my, I'm telling you. How many of you in here this morning? Come on, don't lie to her. Oh, come on, help me out now. How many of y'all in here this morning have got to the point, my friend, you felt like saying, well, maybe we ought to just leave. There's no more bread at Island Ford Baptist Church.
Preach. Amen.
We'll just go on sojourn down the road a little way.
Amen.
Don't believe ever anything will ever happen there no more.
Preach.
That's the same thing that bunch of hypocrites told me 16 years ago.
Amen.
I had some of that reprobate crowd tell me I wouldn't be here 6 months.
Amen.
I had others tell me I wouldn't be here a year. And others told me I wouldn't be here 2 years. And after 18 months, some of them that was in here rose up and tried to run me off.
Amen.
After 4 years, some others rose up and tried to run me off. And after 7 years, some others rose up and tried to run me off. And I've been here 16 years!
Amen.
Amen. You might as well get right with God, because I plan on staying here 16 more. Have you lost hope there'll ever be another crumb of bread here? You know, they got down there in God's washpot, thought there was bread, thought there was health, thought God had blessed them, and I'm here to tell you they got down there and found no substance. But after great tragedy come to that family, Naomi said, heard that they had a little bit of bread. That God had visited His people.
Yes.
Honey, will you help me? They're all asleep. Grandpa's preached too long for them this morning. I've got to do my youth, and they all slumbering and sleep.
Amen.
I'm almost next to about the oldest one in here, and I've been a preaching. I feel like I could dance a jig this morning. Hallelujah to God.
Amen.
But isn't it marvelous when she got down there, faith, and got down there in a fallen condition and got down there in a worse famine than what she was?
Amen.
She is still able to hear.
Yes.
That God had visited His people.
Yes.
I'm telling you, come on now, help me now. I don't understand everything that's going on and what all of the problem is, but I'm going to tell you this. I'm confident God is going to visit His people with bread one more time in the land of the living. God will sling out a few handfuls of purpose if you want. You can go on down to Boaz at the threshing floor. Woo! And come back with a lap full. Hallelujah to God. God will dispatch some mighty men to the well of Bethlehem and bring you a little drink of water.
Amen.
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 Amen. Feel like preaching.
Amen.
Somebody said, I wish you'd shut up. You'll be all right after a while.
Amen.
I'm going to Brother Billy's and eat, son. I'm going to Billy Bob barbecue today, boys. And I'll tell you, a man run 100 miles to get a bit barbecue sandwich of that. And I'm not in no hurry. You know why? I'm feasting on some manna right now.
Amen.
In fact, I've got a little angel's food. Something some of y'all in here don't know anything
Amen.
About.
Amen. Amen.
Woo! I said something about Boaz Tracing Corn, y'all. Is there a famine of hope? You about ready to go off down into Moab, thinking there's something just a little bit better on the other side of the fence.
Amen.
Now, I'm going to tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. I don't claim to be nobody, but I know where God's hanging around.
Amen.
Now, I don't understand things like Tuesday night, but I tell you, I know when God is hanging around. Hey, you know why he is? It's because that God is merciful. It's because God wants to hear you cry to him one more time. It's because God wants to deliver you one more time. It's because God wants you to praise his name one more time. I'll probably wake up in the morning with a bad neck. Whew. I've got to do them to you, so. God told me just to let her rip, so I'm going to let her rip. Hallelujah. I'm going to tell you something. They might be a famine of heaven, the Word of God. Said they abhorred the meat. They didn't have any. They hated it. They didn't want no meat. They didn't have it, buddy. Listen to me. How many times have you ever set the table, and all of us have been guilty of this? We said, kids, time to eat. I'm playing right now with little Johnny. I don't want to eat nothing right now. Well, all right, go on play a little while. And after a while, they play until after dark, and they come running in. And you done got your shoes off, your feet's been washed. Mommy, I want something to eat. You should have eaten when I put it on the table. You should eat when I put it on the table. And you'll sit there a while and you should eat. Well, now I'm hungry, but you should eat when I put it on the table. If you want something to eat, go out there and get it out of the refrigerator yourself. And I'm going to tell you, that's exactly what God, we go to God, Lord, I'm hungry. We should eat when I put it on the table.
Amen.
Go out there, go on out there to the Word of God and get some for yourself.
Yeah.
And look here. And here's what little old Johnny and Susie does. They walk out there and they open the refrigerator door and watch the thoughts run through their mind. I don't know how to heat this stuff up. They don't know nobody loves me. Food's cold and ain't warm. I don't know what I want to do. And about that time, Mommy's arm reaches around little Johnny's back. Says, Mommy loves you, honey. I'll fix you something warm.
Yeah.
How many times you and I went to that refrigerator and said, Lord, you should have eaten. I know I should have, Lord. There ain't nothing here to eat. Jesus loves you. Woo! I'm about to get drunk or cooter down, buddy. I'm going to tell you, I'm glad God is a merciful God. And I'm going to tell you, when I open the refrigerator door, amen to God, and realize the food's cold, God knows how to bring it out and give me a warm loaf out of the oven. Hallelujah to God. Amen. And I'm going to tell you, he knows how to take that warm loaf out of the oven, melt it down with butter, put honey all over it, praise God, dripping off, throw in a little peanut butter on top of that. Woo! And God, good, I tell you. And God said, you are to praise me. You are to praise me. You are to praise me because of that.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Well, times are running out. Where's my thing? Got one more point here and a little statement and we're done. Crying time, ladies and gentlemen, when we faint. Crying time when we've fallen. Crying time when we're in the famine. But now notice this. Notice this. Look at verse number 28. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he bringeth them out. Now get that. Do you notice the difference? All the other times he delivered them. Here he brings them out. I hope I can say this right. And I'm trying to hurry. I know it's late, and I'm trying, but listen to me. He bringeth them out of their trouble. Then they cried. When did they cry? Notice verse 25. For he commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind, which lifteth up the waves thereof. They mount up to the heaven. They go down again to the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man and are at their wit's end. Would you be willing to agree with Brother Hall that these people that are at their wit's end are frustrated? Bible said they raise up and they go down. They raise up and they go down. God commandeth the waves and they raise up, they go down. and says at your wit's end. I've heard my mama say that before. You little devil, she said, I'm at my wit's end with you. When mama said she is at the wit's end, son, you better shut your mouth.
Amen.
I'm glad.
Yes.
Because it was crying time. You cried for a reason, buddy. Hot seat, boy. If mama gave you the hot seat, papa's going to give it to you again when he got home. Ain't nobody in here frustrated, are you? What's wrong with the church? Why is everybody so sad? Why is there no joy? Where is the power of God? Where is the presence of God? What's going on? What's going on in my marriage? I thought I'd be happy. I thought everything would run smooth. I thought I'd get my dreams fulfilled. What's going on? I just don't understand. Things is not working out the way I thought they would.
Amen.
I'm just a little frustrated.
Yes, sir.
I'm at my wit's end.
Amen.
Now I want you to notice this, and I want to say this as humbly as I know how. The Bible said they raise us up. Read that for me, Brother Doug. Verse 20. What is it? Verse 26 or 27. Reach verse number 26 and down. Read it.
They mount up to the heaven. They go down again to the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man. They are at their wit's end.
But let's read up a little bit above that. Let's get up just a little bit above that. Read verse number 25 to them. No, 23 to them.
They that go down to the sea in ships that do business in great waters.
Hold it right there. Merchant men doing business in great water. If I know anything at all about the Word of God, what he's saying there is, that's for mature Christians.
Right.
We're going down in deep water, buddy. We're not playing in the sand.
Amen.
We're not dabbling along the shoreline, son. We're like Peter was when God said, cast out into the deep.
Right. Amen.
We're not playing along the shoreline anymore, ladies and gentlemen. This is maturity. These people are mature. They're in deep waters. Now, read the rest of that, Brother Doug.
They see the works of the Lord and His wonders in
the deep. Wait a minute. They see. They do what? They see the works of the Lord and the wonders that He's done. And then what happens to them?
And His wonders in the deep, for He commandeth.
His wonders in the deep.
Amen.
In the deep. Go on now.
For He commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind, which lifteth up the waves thereof. They mount up to the heaven, they go down again to the depth.
Can I ask y'all a question? Where would you think that crowd got frustrated at? Is there anybody listening to me? I'm going to tell you where they got frustrated at. When God gave them meat from the Word of God. When they dove off into deep waters. Now get this. They rose up and they come down. But here's the problem. They never could get a hold of it. They never could grasp the depths of the Word of God. Everybody follow me? I'm going to say this as humbly as I know how. I've preached I don't know how many years out of the Song of Solomon, probably one of the deepest books in the Bible. And while I preached out of one of the most spiritual books in all the Bible, I saw us up, and I saw us down. And I saw us up, and I saw us down. And I'm going to tell you why it was. Because we'd grab a hold of a bit of it, and then we'd lose it. And we'd grab a hold of another bit of it, and then we'd lose it. Then we'd grab a hold of another bit of it, and then we'd lose it. I want to say this to you. They became frustrated in deep water in the Word of God.
Yes, sir.
They couldn't grab a hold of those deep truths.
Amen.
And I submit to you, that's exactly where some of you are living today.
Amen.
You're frustrated. And you're frustrated because you couldn't grab a hold of some of the real truths that the Lord wanted us to get a hold of. But
when they reeled and staggered like a drunken man, the Bible said they come to their wits' end.
Right. Amen.
Lord, I can't handle it no longer.
Amen.
Then they cry.
Yes.
Get this, and he didn't just deliver them, he brought them out!
Amen.
That implies they're going in no more. God brought them out! Men and praise the Lord.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. His goodness to them.
Amen.
Now I'm done. You listen carefully. You listen carefully. They came into deep waters and became frustrated. They were up and down, but could not grasp great truth.
Amen.
And they became frustrated from it. And I don't know how to say this. But you can be spiritual minded and be trying to grab a hold of some other truth, and if you can't get it, it'll cause you to get frustrated. I want to say something to you. If you're trying to grasp hold of things about the doctrine of hyper-Calvinism, be careful. There's some deep water right there, ladies and gentlemen. There's a fine line between the responsibility of man and the sovereign knowledge and will of Almighty God. And if you try to cross over and get into the will of God, you're going to get into some deep waters that will frustrate you. If you're going to try, if you're going to try to understand why people that are living out in the world or people in these other churches that claim to love God and so today they watch the Passion Show rather than being in church and you're trying to figure out all their problems. Why don't God deal with them? Why don't God judge them? Hey, let God alone. Let God deal with them. You're going to get in some deep waters that you can't get out of. If you're worried about what God's doing in somebody else's life, if He's done something in their life differently than yours, you're going to get in some deep waters you can't understand.
Amen.
What God told John, He told Peter today. John said, Peter said, what about that man, Lord? He said, in so many words, he said, it ain't none of your business
what
I do with that
man.
Amen.
That's right. Amen.
I'll deal with that man.
Amen.
Now, can you hear me well? If you quit loving God and sit down and begin to try to figure out why God has dealt with you in a particular way in your life, and hadn't dealt with other people like that, I'm going to tell you what it's going to do. It's going to cause you to get bitter on God.
Right.
Amen.
And you'll get in some deep waters and get frustrated.
Right. Amen.
Amen.
Now, I don't know why God let Ben and Angie marry 10 years before they could have a child. I don't know why, but He did, and they got one. On the other hand, Doug and Lisa's married 10 years. They had 10.
Amen.
I don't understand that. Are you listening to me now? Don't try to figure out somebody else's life now. God's working in somebody else's life. Better realize what God's doing in your life.
Amen.
Just lay back in it. I want to show you something. And you know why God always brought them out? We've looked at they fainted, they fell, their famine, their frustration. But I want to show you something. Look at the last two chapters, the last two verses in this chapter, and I'm done.
Amen.
The righteous, shall see it and rejoice, and all iniquity shall stop her mouth.
Amen.
Whoso is wise and will observe these things, even they will understand.
Amen.
The loving kindness of the Lord. Now there's their, they fainted, they fell, their famine, their frustration, but I'm going to tell you why when they got so low. And look here. You can look at some people and they can be lower than a totem pole and stay that way a while and you can say, well, their problem is they're lost. Oh, know about that. This crowd got pretty far down the totem pole. And I believe in them last two verses proves that that crowd, they cried to the Lord and God delivered them for the same reason. Their faith.
Amen.
Their faith. They believed God. Even when they couldn't
tie their shoes, they believed God. When they felt crushed and broken and sorrowful and miles and miles away from God, like that verse you read in the book of Psalms this morning, when my heart is overwhelmed,
amen,
then I cry to the Lord. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. You can be in that shape and have faith in God. He'll bring you out. What a wonderful God we have. I say this in closing. It's crying time, ladies and gentlemen. We want God time to cry. And look here, not one time does it say in that passage, they cried unto the Lord and He turned His back to them. He loved them. And I'm going to say something. God loves you this morning. God loves you this morning. And God wants to help you. God wants to help you in your trouble. There may have things went on in your life that you can't bring back and do over. There may be some things you wish you could do over and can't, and there may be some things you would like to change, and for some reason you just can't change it. God knows that. And He's still a merciful God. You'll cry to Him. Let's stand together.